early post-college kids that are listening, if you're not totally sure what you want to do, go back to live with mom and dad for a year or so. Here's what happened. So I go back and I've got this money in the bank. I live with my dad. I had to pay the power bill. But I made it, had a job working at the high school, making about $36,000 a year. It ain't what you make, it's what you keep. So I just socked away and socked away and saved tons and tons of money. I also cleaned buildings at night.
You had a pretty good education in life, but financially you really didn't. You had to learn it on your own. You had the one gentleman that got in your way. What are you teaching your kids these days?
I believe that your kids learn not by what you tell them, but by what they see you do. My 12-year-old loves the finances. He understands what a P&L is. He understands what profit margin is. What he does is he sits in the car with me and he listens to telephone conversations.
Welcome back to season 4 of Save Yourself Podcast, brought to you by Unlimited Wealth. Really excited today, back again with my main man, Brad Lowe, my partner in crime, but really excited about our guest today, Thomas Cox. Man, former athlete, former coach, entrepreneur, real estate investor, good friend, and
once you're an athlete, you're always an athlete.
That's right. Former athlete. It's like a Marine. Come on, guys, get it straight.
That's right. Current athlete, yeah. I aspire to look like you one day, buddy. Well, man, first off, Brad didn't get the notification. He should have shaved his head today. So
he's I missed out. Yep. We can do that live.
Strike one.
Yeah. That would be a good podcast.
That would be.
Yeah. Well, man, we wanted to just hear about your story a little bit. First off, Thomas, let the viewers know who you are, where you came from. Start from the beginning, wherever you want to get started.
Sure. So I'm a Birmingham guy, Bessemer, Hueytown area. My dad was a high school coach here. So I grew up in the thought process financially of retirement. So I get the retirement when you're pensioned, all that. That's where I grew. So I had no one really in my family that was focused on anything financial. So parents got divorced when I was in middle school. Dad was a constantly battled alcohol, but was a good dad, great football coach. So respected the crap out of my dad as far as the football is concerned. So most kids, when they're in high school, junior high, high school, and college, they say that, you know, they don't really know what they want to be. I knew exactly what I was going to do when I was 6 years old. I was going to coach college football. So from the time I was 5 or 6, that's what I was going to do. So the only reason I went to school, I hated school. So 16, 17 ACT guy, 3-point, yeah, y'all laugh, go ahead, it's fine. I took it 3 times, got in on probation. So 3.2 GPA guy, just kind of floated through school. Wasn't required to write an essay until I got to college. I mean, just typical athlete. I wasn't an idiot. I just, lots of common sense, not much book sense, but knew that I was going to coach college football. So I went to college on a scholarship, played quarterback at UAB, loved it. My dad retired when I was in college and goes to Georgia, but simply because we needed money. He needed money. So he goes to Georgia and retires, and for the last 2 years of college, I was looking for a GA job because that's what you do when you want to go coach college football. So I went to go looking, but all the time through college, I was working parking cars and I was dollar cost averaging every month. So I just shut my eyes. I'd look at it once every 6 months and it'd go up and it'd go down. I didn't care about it. It was not my money.
And this was the guy that you gave $1,000 of graduation money to, and he said, I need you to give me $25 a month.
At least $25 a month. He said, when you make more, give me more. If you make less, but at least give me $25. He said, you can afford $25 a month. I was like, yeah, I can do that. I can figure that out. So I was working through college. So I left college about $5,000 or $6,000 in the bank, but I'd went on super extravagant trips in college. Like, I mean, I'm talking Aruba, the Dominican, the Bahama. I mean, I was going ski. I was killing it because I had a scholarship check, but then I also made some money. I had tons of money. So didn't get a college job. And then I go to Atlanta and live with my dad. So here's the thing that I want to, if there's college kids out there listening and early post-college kids, if you're not totally sure what you want to do, go back to live with mom and dad for a year or so. Okay? Here's what happened. So I go back and I've got this money in the bank. I live with my dad. I had to pay the power bill. That's all I had to pay. But I had a job working at the high school, making about $36,000 a year. It ain't what you make, it's what you keep. So I just socked away and saved tons and tons of money. I also cleaned buildings at night with a guy that was in the high school home cleaning business. So I'd work for $10 or $12 an hour. This is back in 2002. Did that. We cleaned public storage buildings all over Atlanta. So I'd work, 20 or 30 hours a week doing that. Made my $36,000 a year doing that. It was great. So I did that for 2 years. So I'd resigned myself that I was not going to coach in college. And so my wife at the time, Jackie, I was engaged to her. She was coaching college volleyball at West Alabama, middle of nowhere, Livingston.
My daughter goes there.
Give them hell, big L. That's what they used to say. So she was there. And so she had been given a job by the principal at the high school I was working at. And so we had resigned ourselves that we're going to be great high school coaches and just live life there. I'd already bought a home in Atlanta. Now, remember this. This is 2005, okay? So y'all understand what's coming. So I bought a house in 2005 in Atlanta before I'd been married. It wasn't built yet. So we get married in 2005. I'm getting off the plane for my honeymoon. The first person to call me is a guy named Todd Stroud. Let me go back. My dad hired Todd Stroud as the strength and conditioning coach and defensive coordinator when I was a senior in high school. The day of the first practice, Todd leaves for a $60,000 raise to go to the University of Memphis to be the strength coach there. Todd used to be the head football coach at Livingston. So the first call I get off the plane from my honeymoon is Todd. He says, hey, guy leaves in the middle of the night last night. I got a job up here if you wanted at NC State University. So let's go back. I've got a full-time job coaching, teaching. My wife's got a full-time job and has already been promised the head volleyball coaching job. She's certified science. So we're going to go to live life in Atlanta. So we go up to Raleigh and we're just tormented on what to do. We got this thing down here, but you're only going to make $14,000 a year being a GA and Jackie didn't have a job. What do we do? What do we do? So on the way home in June, this is June in the middle of the summer. In the middle of the summer at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, my wife gets a call and it's the lady from HR in Cobb County, Georgia. And she goes, hey, Miss Cox, we've got your information here. You've been hired. I need your Praxis scores. And she says, well, I passed one section, but I didn't pass the other. And I'm taking it again in August. She goes, I'm sorry, ma'am. We can't hire you. So that was our sign to go there. So we go there and work and just absolutely love there. I worked 100 hours a week, making $14,000 a year. But I got the chance to work under a guy that had been in the NFL. And I learned so much football in 2 years. I mean, it was unreal. And so made a lot of connections there and loved that. Get fired. All of us got fired. We get fired. I go to Tennessee Tech University, coach the receivers and offensive line there. So I'm living my dream, not making much money. We go to Cookeville, Tennessee. We love it. Small town USA. So we'd been in Atlanta, Birmingham, and Raleigh, all big cities. We go to Cookeville. It's 36,000 people. So I'm coaching college football there and loving it. Did that for 6 years. My wife's the head volleyball coach. We're just, life's good. We've got two kids. Things are great. I feel a pull on my heart to get out of coaching. Don't know why. And I know why now, but I quit. In essence, I quit without having a job. My boss walks in. I said, hey, I think I want to do something else. He says, what are you going to do? I was like, I don't know, but I just know this is not for me. So I go work at a church, from $60,000 a year to $35,000 a year, huge pay cut. 3 months after being there, my boss walks in and says, can you help me with a meal plan? So to back up a little bit, I'd gotten really involved with CrossFit when I was coaching. So I was on the front end of that, uptick of how important that was. So I was just in that community. So I knew a lot about food and a lot about fitness. So I started doing a meal plan for this guy. I was making $35,000 a year, being an associate pastor there, just kind of doing party planner for Jesus is what my sister called it. So I was doing that. And then he told a friend about it. And then he told a friend about it. And then he told a friend about it. And so I was doing meal plans for people. First year I made $8,000 doing meal plans. Took a huge pay cut, got two kids, made $8,000 the first year. The second year, my wife walks in about 10 o'clock one night. She puts her hand on my shoulder and she says, hey, Thomas, you're working coaching hours again. I'm like, no. Oh, yeah, I am. So I was coming home every day and doing these meal plans. So I started doing that. And halfway through the second year, I went part-time because I started working. At that point, it exploded. The meal plans. So this is back in 2012-ish.
Okay.
12, 13.
Still in Tennessee.
12 and 13, where nobody was doing meal plans. Okay, but I was doing meal plans for people all over the world. I had thousands of clients in 27 different countries. Yes, no exaggeration.
So had you started a website? How are you marketing this?
I had a small website that I trained the audiovisual guy, the guy behind the camera, on. I trained him. He gained 20 pounds of muscle. And he did a website for me. So I got a free website for training this dude. Still the same logo that he created today. So, yeah. So I started doing that. And then the second year, I went part-time. We started making food for people. Started doing meal prep before meal prep was even a thing. The second year, we made $80,000. So.
Got a business.
We had a business.
10X'd it.
Killing myself, but we had a business. So I quit the church after 2 years and started doing this. I rented a 400-square-foot kitchen. No heat, no air, and was just slinging this. And then my buddy's like, hey, do you cater? I'm like, yeah, I cater. Had never catered before in my life. So I figured that out. I started catering. So I was doing meal prep and catering. And that business grew. And so we ended up having a retail shop in Cookeville for a while. And about 4 years into it, 4 or 5 years into it, I was now self-employed. I didn't have insurance. I didn't have retirement. And a great friend of mine, Matt Davidson, who built homes, built custom homes, million-dollar homes in Cookeville. He had a road that he bought some land and he put a U street on the road and built townhomes in the road. I'm like, dude, you build million-dollar homes. What are you building these $180,000 townhomes for? He goes, that's my retirement. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, I'm going to rent them out. He said, if somebody wants to buy it, they'll buy it. But this will send my kids to college and it'll be there forever. And I'm like, oh.
That's when the real estate light bulb went off.
It did. And so remember, I'm 37 at the time. I'm now 37. Let's go back. What did I do at 18? I started cost averaging.
Yeah, started saving.
I didn't stop.
19 years later. $25 every month?
No.
You change it.
I went from 25 to 400 depending on how much I made. So when we moved to Tennessee, I made $25,000 and my wife was waiting tables. So I want to span there when I went back to $25. But then as we income grew, I'd be a couple $100 a month. And so I started following Grant Cardone. Y'all have heard of the guy. And he said something one day so I had a lot of buddies in Tennessee that owned single family homes that rented them. And Grant said something one day and he said, I ain't into single family homes because if I've got an apartment complex, I got one roof. I got one this, one that. He said, if I got all these homes, I got 10 roofs. I got 10 mortgage. I want one. And for me, that was all it took. And I looked at my buddy, who was also a W-2 guy, but he was a high-income earner. And I said, dude, we need to get some rental property. I said, but I don't think we need to do rental homes. I said, I think we need to do apartments. He's like, dude, apartments are so expensive. I'm like, together we can do it. So I took that money that I'd been dollar cost averaging for 19 years, and we put it as a down payment on our first 10-plex. So we did something funky financially there with how we structured the note because a guy there said, when you get the first one paid off, you can really start rolling. So I structured that first loan to where I could get it paid off quick. So let me tell you what we did. We took the payment, multiplied it times 12 months plus two, and I took that number and divided it by 52, okay? So I made the first payment, let's just say April 1st, I made the first payment April 1st. That next Friday, I made a weekly payment. And then I put it on a cycle to where I made weekly payments. In less than 1 year, we were paying more principal than interest.
How was that originally amortized? Was it a 30-year or 15-year?
25.
A 25, okay.
25. His amortized 25 at a decent rate. I want to say 6%. This was back in 2017. So we did that. We did that for 2 years and we just had equity. Value went up. Plus we were paying a crap ton down and we were paying the interest. And when you pay weekly, you pay less interest, just a compounding thing. So we pulled $80,000 out of that home and bought another place in Jacksonville, Alabama. So here we are. In 2 years, we've got 22 units and we're just trying to snowball this thing. So we moved to Birmingham because I start doing the food for Highlands College. So I do the food for Highlands College now on the meal. We don't do meal prep anymore. We do catering. And then in 2019, we started another company called Table and Time where we do high-end catering. So now we've done a lot of stuff since then, but that's really the baseline version of me moving here and the start of the investing journey. So,
man, what a story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can go on and on about that. I want to hear, so you had a pretty good education in life, but financially you really didn't. You had to learn it on your own. You had the one gentleman that got in your way. Yeah. What are you teaching your kids these days? What are you doing with them? Similar stuff or?
So I believe that your kids learn not by what you tell them, but by what they see you do. So I've got three kids. I've got an 8-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 15-year-old at the time we're recording. And my 15-year-old daughter is not really into that stuff. She kind of is, but she kind of ain't. My 12-year-old loves it. He loves the finances. He understands what a P&L is. He understands what profit margin is. He understands if I ask if somebody what's the spread on this, he understands what those things mean at 12. But what he does is he sits in the car with me and he listens to telephone conversations. And what he does is I'll sit down and on the whiteboard, I got a whiteboard on my desk, and I'll just go over what these things are. And it's just a slow drip of information. And he asks questions. When he asks questions, I tell him. He asks about the apartments. He asks about the other businesses that we own. He understands IBC. So we had a meeting with Justin Kraft, who owns Nyland Associates, you guys work with another friend of mine who's a professional baseball player. And he just sat in the room. He just sits in the room. So if he gets 12% of what he hears, it's a freaking win. So he started his own pressure washing business. So like I teach my kids what we do. And I want them involved in conversations as I'm having them with whoever. He's probably heard a conversation with you and I on the phone in the car at some point. So that's really what I believe now. So instead of a 529, I'm not a 529 guy. We have a managed fund just for them. We go through Morgan Stanley. Mark Melikar does our money and he does a wonderful job. We have a managed fund for them that will contribute to dollar cost average every month. But my kids, my daughter works for the park and keeps score for basketball games on the weekends. And my son has a pressure washing business and he washes. And so what I told them is we start a checking account for them and they can contribute to their managed fund. So they understand IBC and we can get into that later. We understand IBC, but the next policies I'm going to start are the three policies for my three kids, my 15, my 12, and my 8-year-old. My goal is to teach them how to use that and how to use their managed fund in a way of access to capital and how to use capital and the debt and teaching them what good debt is and bad debt. Like my kids have both asked me in the last 6 weeks, hey, is this good debt or bad debt? Well, what do you think? Is a car good debt or bad debt, T? He goes, bad debt. I said, why is it bad debt? He said, because you're having to pay for it. I said, well, why are apartments good debt? He said, because all those people living in your apartments are paying for it. So there you go. So they start to understand that. So that's really the basis of what we teach.
Yeah. And you mentioned the IBC, and I should know this, but when did you first learn about IBC? I just remember the day you came in with Justin and I. I mean, you're an inquisitive guy. You had a ton of questions.
I'm a question asker.
Yeah, about three pages. And we encouraged that. It was great. And we spent about an hour and a half.
We did.
Line by line and going through each one.
Yep.
But where did you first?
I was in a BNI group for 5 or 6 years ago. And I had a guy that started talking about cash value life insurance. And I got a little bit of an education there. It didn't sit right, y'all. It did not sit right. I just don't know if he did a horse crap job of explaining it.
Was he trying to communicate IBC, you think, or just talking about cash value life insurance in general?
Cash value life insurance in general. Did not talk about the warehouse. Did not talk about...
talked about product, not process.
He did. It was a Northwestern guy. And it just did not register. And then I don't really remember. I got reconnected with Justin because Justin and I knew who Justin Kraft was and Justin knew who I was simply because we barely crossed paths at UAB. So he was leaving UAB as I was getting there. And so I'd heard the lore of Justin Kraft as the football player, and he knew of me because he had watched when I played. But we'd really not gotten super connected. And then I don't really remember what happened, but we just got into financial conversations. And it came up, and I just was like, okay, and started asking questions. I read Becoming Your Own Banker by Nelson Nash, and then that's where the questions – he brought you into the conversation. That's where all the questions came from of me, like, on my Word document. So,
first of all, I'm super impressed by everything you've said because so much of it's been around not only what can you learn, but what can you teach, sure. Right? You're trying to teach your kids. Everything's about education, what you've absorbed and what you've taught back. And I think – we'll tie this in, like we're going to get this in a minute with IBC, but I think that's just my mind why you probably latched on, because you want to understand. Nelson used to say, this is caught, not taught, talking about infinite banking. Well, for you to catch it, you got to be willing to do your own homework, which you did, and you're passing that along to your kids. Man, how far ahead your kids are going to be with against their peers is going to be light years.
I'm a little scared of that, though, Brad, because I got to be sure that they understand that it's all based off of hard work and education, as opposed to them having something given to them.
And I mean light years, because of what you've given them is wisdom and education. I don't mean what the financial gifts you're going to give them.
And I hope you're totally right. I agree with you. I pray all the time that they're not spoiled kids, that they have an expectation and an entitlement. And I want to make sure that I'm teaching them that the things that they get are things that we've worked incredibly hard for. And you see so many problems with kids that are just entitled bratty kids that don't want to work hard because of their dad or their mom or whatever. And I work so hard at that, y'all. I mean, it's a battle I fight every day, because we do 50 times better than my parents did. And we don't have crazy nice things because we don't spend tons of money on things, but we do. I mean, the places we've been, I didn't do that. I didn't start traveling. I got to college and do it myself. We went to Panama City. So, it is a constant thing that we're trying to, like right now, we're reading The Wealthy Gardener. Have y'all read that?
I'm reading it right now.
Have you read it?
I've read clips of it. I hadn't read it cover to cover.
It's so good. So I'm reading it with my 12-year-old and my 15-year-old right now.
That's fantastic.
So it's a constant battle, and they get tired of it too. I mean, they make fun of me sometimes.
Sure.
Said I walked in one day and Johnna goes, I says, what are y'all doing? And she goes, we're listening to a podcast on how to be rich. And I go, nope, you're watching Survivor. And she goes, yep.
That's great. Well, outside of entrepreneur, your businesses and investing, and you run a podcast yourself called mm-hmm. Owner's Table.
Yep.
All right. And I believe the topics is the three F's in life. Help me out. Family. Yep. Finances,
fitness,
food.
Fitness too.
Food, fitness. Yep. Okay. I'd also add,
we talk a lot about food.
Believe it or not, I got the name wrong, but I do listen to it quite a bit. And I mean, you got a lot of faith in there too.
We do.
Yep. So
it's the six F's.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you need to expound. What is that? Where'd you get into that? Is that just your education? You just want to teach? And
The total honest answer is I want to build a network and build some expertise in these areas, because I don't know what life is going to be like in 10 or 15 years. And if I can create relationships with you guys and other people, the David Oakleys of the world, the Jake Elkinses of the world, the Lindsay Millers of the world that are in business, that have dollars to invest and want to do business together, then I want to know those folks. And it's this extremely, in a way, it's an extremely selfish play, because I want to get to know those people that have the knowledge that I don't have. And if I can sit down with them for an hour and ask questions, because like I said, I'm a question asker, then I want to know more about them. And we've had people that have owned auction companies, to real estate people, to guys that own wrestling gym. I mean, we've had David Oakley, who owns a real estate conglomerate here in Birmingham that has places all over the country. So it is for us to create relationships so that in some way we can possibly do business together one day. But also, man, if you listen to it, you can learn a lot of crap on there, from like how to handle your kids to – the mistakes that people have made and everybody loves a good story. Everybody loves hearing cool things that people have done. And so I really, really enjoy doing it. Really enjoy sitting down with people and talking to them.
Well, I encourage people to listen, that's for sure. But speaking of investing, man, what are you doing these days? What's new? You're always looking for something.
Yeah. The handful of things, the thing that I'm most excited about right now is we are doing land investing. So I work with a group called Landex, and they're out of Texas. JD Hill and Aaron Schumacher, y'all need to get these guys on your podcast. So JD is extremely involved in IBC. Aaron is sold a big company, but they work together, and we do land investing. So it's the Costco model. They buy big swaths of land, parcel it out, sell the parcels out to to people that want to buy them. So like, for example, we just invested in 3,300 acres in Colorado, going to divide up in seven different tracts. Some of it's farming, some of it's hunting. You sell it off. Let's just use, for example, you buy it for $2,000 an acre. You sell it for $3,000 an acre because, you know, Mike Swalley can't afford 3,300 acres, but Mike Swalley can afford 150. And so that's what we've been doing. And Landex is great because they make it really, really simple. They have a extremely, extremely stringent underwriting process. So they're not just taking any old swat of land that's being sold. So I'm doing a lot of that in different ways. I do a lot of private money lending, a lot. I've got five deals out right now where I'll loan money to Brad. Brad's a house flipper. He gives me 15% on my money in 6 months, simple interest, not annualized. And we just keep turning that money. Those are the two things I'm really, really working on right now. We still dollar cost average every month. Mindless. I'm just – It really is mindless. So those are the things that we're doing right now.
You're relatively new to the IBC world. And then what are we, a couple of years in?
Yeah, about a year and a half in. Yeah.
Where do you see that fitting in the financials?
So I...
Because let me stop. You've named a couple of things that in my mind I'm running through. Perfect.
IBC, that's what I'm thinking. You're talking about doing the land deal, doing the hard money lending, all that.
So I do... So I'm really, really new into IBC, and it takes a little bit of time, depending on how big your policy is, to build that cash value up. So I'll just be super transparent. I think we have $120,000 of cash value in.
You're in the capitalization phase.
We're in the capitalization phase right now. But so I have a really, really interesting theory. So in my market money that we dollar cost average every month, my goal is to never sell those shares. I don't ever want to sell them. I want to keep building that just like I'm building IBC. IBC is not going to go down in value as long as I keep capitalizing it. Even when I drop off a rider, let's just say my premium's $2,000 a month in year nine, it's going to go up $2,600. I'm using arbitrary numbers, but y'all understand what I'm saying. So people may not understand what I just said, but I want to keep contributing to my IBC. I want to keep contributing to my managed account because they both work as tools where I can use that capital and the value not go down, number one. And the they can still cook. Okay. So money's job is to make more money. Money is a tool. It can be used for very, very good. It can be used for very, very bad. But I want to continue to contribute managed account, continue to contribute to my IBC, and I will start more policies. I will. As the finances grow, I will. But what I will do is I will use them both in the same way. So I can borrow money from my managed account. It's called an LAL, Liquidity Access Line. You've heard of it. I can borrow money from there. Now, the rate's higher than an IBC. It sucks.
And there's some more rules.
There are a little bit more rules, but I can borrow the money from there. I've got more money access to that right now than I do my IBC. I can borrow money from there. So let's just use, for example, my IBC. Okay, pull off $50,000. I'll give you a great example. Happened last week. Pull off $85,000 from my IBC. I give it to Michael. Michael's a house flipper. He gives me 15% simple interest in 6 months. Okay, so at 6 months, he's giving me 15% on that $85,000. I don't even know what the money. Let's just call it 12.5. So say I make $12,500 in 6 months. Let's go back to my IBC. It's cost me 4% to borrow that money annualized. So if I hold it for 6 months, I'm only paying 2%, correct? Okay, so let's take...
About $1,700.
Exactly. So instead of making 15%, I'm really making 13%. But understand this, and y'all understand this. I'm teaching you right now.
Yeah, I love it. Teach on.
I take the 85 out. I have to pay, would you say $1,700-ish? I take the 85 out. I have to pay $1,700 for that $85,000. But then I put back 12.5 into that. So really I'm making 13% of my money with that investment. But the IBC is growing at a guaranteed rate of 4% plus the dividend. So my money's working twice. I can do the same thing with my managed account, but the managed account's 8% right now.
Let me add another layer. To that, whether it's 8% or 4%, but let's use the IBC example. So if you did not know about IBC and you did not have the managed account, but you had 85 grand sitting over in your money market at the bank, you go use 85 grand, loan it to the guy. He still pays you the same rate of interest. You make your 12.5 in 6 months. You had to use $85,000 of your capital to make 12.5. By using IBC, you had to use $1,700 of your capital to make 12.5. Tell me about how that changes the rate of return.
Well, it changes the rate of return because of the opportunity costs. It's grow. I keep going back to this, and this is, I don't think this is talked about enough. Your money's working double. Your money's working double. So there are only a handful of types of
financial vehicles.
Yes. And if I can get that thing to work over here and work over there, so let's really break down the cost. Let's take 100 because it's easy math instead of 85. So say I loan $100,000 out for 6 months. I have to pay $2,000 for that. Okay. I make $15,000. So really I'm making $13,000. But if it grows at 4% guaranteed, okay, that's 4% off that. Let's just call it 100. There's another $4,000. I don't even know how to factor in the dividend because I'm not that smart. So I got a 4% grow over here from my IBC. I've got the 13% over here. So I've grown that thing, that 100 grand at 17, was that 17%? 17% right there. I've already paid my 2% out, but then I got a dividend on top of that. That's not bad.
And if you held the deed on the property that you loaned on, you had zero risk in that whole
zero
deal.
Zero risk. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Now you have taxable gain in one,
sure.
Tax free gain in the other, though.
You do. There are some taxes that are being paid, but there are so many ways you can wash that if you wanted to. So it's been an eye opener for me. I'm a disciple now of it. I've gotten people interested in it, invested in it, but it's when you have people like you and Justin that teach about it, it's just an eye opener. One of the things that Justin told me that I know you guys have probably said on here before is if you're just using it for life insurance, it's not the best vehicle. It is a tool for investment, for using that capital in multiple ways. Because if it's just life insurance, it's too darn expensive. But what I'm doing is it's a savings vehicle. Nelson called it a savings warehouse. It's a savings vehicle. So instead of putting my money, my savings account right now is getting 5%. That's great. But it may be 2% in 24 months. I don't know. But this is 4% guaranteed plus a dividend. But here's the thing. No one wants to get rich slow. Not many people have patience. Not many people want to keep their head down and just slowly chip away. But if you can, it's an extremely, extremely valuable concept if you use it. You got to use it. If it just sits there, it doesn't do us any good.
Everybody wants to get rich quick, but everybody needs a place to park capital.
They do.
And so that's what we utilize it for. Yep. It's a place to park capital in between deals where you're going to use the money to go get wealthy.
Right. Right. And so I've enjoyed it. Well, looking forward to doing more policies, looking forward to figuring out more ways to use it. In general, just in all the deals that we're doing. So,
well, we look forward to helping you with that. Well, final question, man. We like to wrap up with, if you could think back 20 years ago versus today, how would you define success today differently?
So how would you define success? If we'd ask you, how do you find success, Thomas, 20 years ago, what would that answer have been most likely? And what's that answer today?
20 years ago, success would have been a head coach of a college football team. Today, success is being able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Money is money creates freedom. The reason we redshirted our kids, we talked about this before we went on air, the reason we redshirted our kids, we went another year with our kids. I'm going to leave here, go to a coffee shop and work for 2 hours and be home by 4 o'clock. I'm going to throw the football to my son, and then we're going to eat dinner tonight. And then we're going to go to the park and we're all going to go ride bikes together. And then we're all going to be together tonight. Now, granted, it's the only night this week that we're doing that. But that's my plan. I own five businesses, and I've got the freedom to be able to do that. I love that. Now, I could probably make more money, But what we've done is I've hired people that can take care and do things that I don't have to do all the time. In turn, that gives me more freedom. So what does success look like today? I mean, I'm enjoying what I'm doing today. I really, really am. I'm not a stress-filled guy. I don't have a lot of stress. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy doing stuff like this. And I left my office at 12:30 today to come hang out with y'all. It's not bad for a guy that owns five businesses.
Good day.
So,
Thomas, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, sir. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Yep.